Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's press call to discuss the court case in Tucson. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Please note this call may be recorded and I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's conference over to Alberto Horta. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody for joining us today. My name is Alvaro Huerta. I'm an attorney with the National Immigration Law Center. I'll go ahead and spell my name just so the folks have that. It's A-L-V as in Victor, A-R-O, last name H-U-E-R-T-A. And we're here because today a federal court ordered U.S. Customs and Border Protection to overhaul the way that the agency detains people in its custody in the Tucson sector. The court found that the conditions of detention in CBP holding cells, especially those that preclude sleep over several nights, are presumptively punitive and violate the Constitution. The court banned CBP from holding detainees whose processing has been completed longer than 48 hours from the time that they're first brought into detention, unless and until, and this is a quote, unless and until CBP can provide conditions of confinement that meet detainees' basic human needs for sleeping in a bed with a blanket, a shower, food that meets acceptable dietary standards, potable water, and medical assessment performed by a medical professional. The lawsuit, which is called Doe v. Wolf, was filed by the American Immigration Council, the ACLU of Arizona, the National Immigration Law Center, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights of the San Francisco Bay Area, and Morrison Forster LLP. And this lawsuit was filed back in 2015, so it's been almost 5 years since we filed this lawsuit long ago. In the lead-up to this decision today in 2016, Judge Burry, the federal judge overseeing this case, had entered a preliminary injunction in 2016, which required CBP to provide, at a minimum, mats for sleeping on and Mylar blankets, among other things, including personal hygiene items and the ability to take a shower after 48 hours and before then paper showers and whenever possible with some distinctions on the whether a person was an adult or a child. So this case has been long in coming and we're incredibly happy that the judge has finally ruled to make the injunction permanent and other people on the call will discuss the details of what that permanent injunction will look like. But we're here because this case, after several years, we're seeing that CBP has not changed the way that it treats people in confinement unless a court orders it. And so we're ecstatic that a court has finally recognized and made CBP change the way that it's going to do its work. And is requiring them to at least provide some basic human decency in the method that it treats people when they're confined in their custody. This is an incredibly important case, not only for the thousands of people who go through CBP processing every day. We're going to see their condition, their treatment improve dramatically from what it is now and what it's been over the years. But I think it's incredibly important because this sets constitutional minimums for the way that people in detention should be treated. It says that it's presumptively punitive to treat them the way that they're being treated now, and that's unacceptable according to the values enshrined in our Constitution. So we hope and expect that this is going to have ramifications beyond the Tucson sector. To talk a little bit more about the brief history of the case and a little bit more of the details, I want to introduce Colette Mayer at the law offices of Morrison and Forster.
Hi, this is Colette Mayer. I was trial counsel in the case. And just tagging on to what Alvaro just said, the reason this case went on for so long and we filed in June of 2015 is because the government consistently argued that the detention facilities that are operated by the Department of Homeland Security and the Border Patrol are not subject to the same constitutional minimums of prisons and jails elsewhere in the country because they were merely processing facilities. And this was of huge importance to the defendants in the case and was in huge importance throughout the case. So the significance that they were merely processing facilities to the government meant that people didn't need to be given a bed. They didn't need to be given a shower. They didn't need to be screened by a medical professional. And we were routinely, however, hearing reports from people who were released from these detention facilities who had been held for days. And the reason that was happening and what came out over the course of the case is that these detention facilities had essentially become ICE overflow. That is, the backlog of places to where detainees could be transferred once their processing was complete, there was so little capacity in other areas of DHS that they were being held for longer and longer times in the detention facilities. And what the court, an issue that we raised with the court was, you can't have it both ways. You can't say you're a processing facility, but detain people once they've been processed. Or you have to actually just send them somewhere. And if you're actually detaining them, you're subject to the constitutional minimums that other detention facilities are subject to. And what the court, so that was the issue that was presented to the court and the reason why it took, I think, so many years. We filed in June 2015, but the reason it took so many years was prior to today's decision, we really had no clear holding from any federal court on the constitutional minimums for Border Patrol processing facilities. And as Alvaro notes, these process hundreds of thousands of detainees. So it was a pretty big gap in the constitutional structure. Alvaro, I think with that, I think that gives a background.
Great, thank you, Colette. Next, I'd like to introduce Bree Bernwanger with the LERS Committee for Civil Rights of the San Francisco Bay Area.
Thanks, Alvaro. And just in case it's helpful, my name is spelled B-R-E-E-B-E-R-N-W-A-N-G-E-R. So building on what Alvaro and Colette have already said, this decision, I'll talk a little bit about what the decision actually holds, and then you'll hear from some of our class members about what it means to them. The decision recognized what our clients have been telling us for years, that conditions in the Tucson sector are punitive, that they deprive the people detained there of their dignity, and that they must change. And we are so heartened by this decision to see that they will. The judge's order builds on a preliminary injunction that was issued in November 2016 in this case, which Alvaro mentioned, took some intermediate steps to alleviate some of the harms and some of the deprivations of human need and of dignity that had already been going on for years in those facilities. As Alvaro mentioned, the preliminary injunction had required that Border Patrol provide sleeping mats to alleviate the cold temperatures of the concrete floors and benches, that they provide some kind of blanket, which ended up being an aluminum blanket for warmth, that they provide a paper shower in their wording, which is essentially a wet and dry wipe for folks to at least wipe down a part of their body, and that there be some medical check by a Border Patrol agent using a screening form. What the court recognized today is that that order did not go far enough to bring the Border Patrol into line with the constitutional standards to which they are bound, and he made significant extensions to that order. And I really believe that the evidence brought out at trial that cells are regularly overcrowded, that people regularly slept in or around bathroom stalls, that, as Colette mentioned, people were detained for days on end, well beyond when they were processed, really undergirded the court's decision here. In building on the preliminary injunction, the judge held that no one can be held in a room so crowded that the only place they have to lie down is in or around a toilet. Importantly, the judge also recognized that Border Patrol, as they themselves claimed at trial, are not a detention facility and cannot operate as one, which means that they cannot hold anyone in the Tucson sector in conditions of confinement that lack a bed, a shower, medical screening by a medical professional, a blanket, food that meets acceptable dietary standards, and potable water after 48 hours have passed. So no one who has been processed by Border Patrol, which is their function, can be held beyond 48 hours without an absolute overhaul of their conditions. This means that we will not see any longer what we saw at trial, which were people like Witness B, who you're about to hear from, who was held for 4 days sleeping outside of a bathroom stall for days on end without getting to see a doctor, even though she was vomiting regularly. We will not see those conditions any longer under this order. With that, I'm really happy to be able to pass this conversation on to one of our witnesses from trial, Witness B, who is going to speak to her experience in detention and to her reaction to the court's order today.
Con eso quiero quiero pasarlo a la testiga B, quien va a hablar sobre su situación, su experiencia en detención y sus reacciones a la decisión de hoy. Testiga B.
Sí.
Sí, ya puede decir su parte.
Pues yo quiero contar mi experiencia en el centro de detención. Y yo llegué y estuve en un primer centro de detención. Yo llegué muy mal porque estaba embarazada y llegué mal por esa situación, con vómitos, náuseas,
okay,
y estaba mal.
Disculpa, voy a traducir lo que dice y después puede continuar.
Está bien.
Okay. I want to tell my experience. I want to talk about my experience in the detention center. When I arrived, I was feeling really badly because I was pregnant and I was very nauseous. ¿Ya puede continuar?
Llegué y pedí que si me podían llevar a un doctor por los mis síntomas que yo tenía, porque me sentía mal, y me dijeron que en ese momento no podían porque el lugar donde podían llevarme a ver un doctor estaba muy largo y,
okay, gracias.
Y se iban a tardar mucho tiempo.
When I arrived, I was feeling really badly, and I asked to be seen by a medical professional, and they told me that I couldn't because no one was available.
Tuve que esperarme ahí todo un día, y en la noche me trasladaron a otro centro de detención.
I had to wait there. And at night, they transferred me to another detention center.
Y cuando llegué, llegué muy mal también, igual seguía mal, vomitando, y pedí a un oficial que si podía ver a un doctor porque estaba muy mal, y mi embarazo era de alto riesgo.
And when I arrived at the new detention center, I felt very badly, and I was vomiting, and I asked if I could a medical professional because my pregnancy was at high risk.
Entonces el oficial me vio que yo estaba vomitando y dijo que su esposa también había tenido embarazos y que eso era normal. Entonces yo le dije que tal vez era normal, pero que yo tenía un día sin comer.
And the border official saw me vomiting, and he told me that his wife was also vomited when she was pregnant, and that was normal. And I told him that maybe it was normal, but I hadn't eaten in a day.
Entonces cuando él vio que yo le contesté así, solo se sonrió como burlándose.
And when he heard me respond and say that, he just smiled and laughed at me.
Y luego entramos al centro de detención y nos llevaron a la celda donde estuvimos y no había espacio para mí en ningún lugar.
And then they brought us into the detention center and they put us in the cell and there was no space for me.
Me dieron una colchoneta y las mujeres que estaban adentro del centro me dieron un poquito de espacio, pero yo me tuve que poner en la puerta del baño.
And some of the women in the room gave me a little bit of space next to them, but I had to sleep right next to the bathroom.
Luego vi a otro oficial y le dije que si me podían llevar al doctor. Y él dijo que podía ver al doctor que estaba en ese centro de detención. Y fui donde el doctor y me dijo que en ese momento no me podía atender porque él tenía que atender a los niños que estaban llegando.
And then I saw a border official and I asked to see a medical professional again. And he said that I could see someone. And so he brought me to the medical professional and he told me that he couldn't help me because he had to attend to the children that needed medical help.
Entonces me dijo que regresara a la celda y el oficial dijo que tendría que esperar hasta que me pudieran llevar a un hospital.
So he told me to go back to the cell and an official told me that I had to wait until I was released.
Y entonces hasta el día siguiente me llevaron a un hospital.
So they didn't bring me to a hospital until the next day.
Y toda esa noche estuve igual vomitando y me sentía mal y estaba muy preocupada porque no sabía cómo estaba el estado de mi bebé.
And that whole night I felt terrible and I was vomiting and I was really worried because I didn't know if my baby was going to be okay.
Luego me llevaron al hospital y en el hospital me atendieron y me dijeron que mi bebé sí estaba bien.
When I got to the hospital, they finally attended me and they told me that my baby was okay.
En el hospital me dieron de comer y me sentí bien luego que comí y me pusieron un medicamento para las náuseas y el vómito.
In the hospital, they gave me food, and I started to feel better, and they gave me medicine for my nausea and for the vomiting.
Luego, un doctor dijo que si me volvía a pasar lo mismo, que tenía que empezar comiendo una banana, arroz, y luego comida normal para que estuviera controlada.
And the doctor told me that if the same thing started to happen, I had to eat a banana and rice and regular food to control it.
Y luego de eso me volvieron a llevar al centro de detención.
And then they brought me back to the detention center.
Y luego seguí ahí. La celda estaba sucia, olía, los baños olían muy mal. Y estaba lleno toda la celda de mujeres y ellas se tenían que quedar adentro del baño.
And when I got back to the cell, it was very dirty. The bathroom smelled terrible, and it was just full of women, and some of them had to sleep by the bathrooms.
Al tercer día, algunas mujeres dijeron que ellas tenían muchos días sin bañarse y tenían que lavar su ropa interior en el lavamanos del baño.
On the third day, many of the women said that they hadn't showered in a long time and they needed to wash their underwear in the sinks.
Luego yo me volví a sentir mal, igual volví a empezar con las náuseas y el vómito y nadie me nadie me decía nada, que si me podían volver a llevar al doctor o algo, y no me dieron ningún medicamento después de eso.
And then I started to feel really badly again, and I started vomiting, and nobody paid attention to me. Nobody asked if I needed to see a doctor.
Y el doctor a mí me había dado unas pastillas y a mí no me las dieron hasta en la mañana que yo salí del centro.
And the doctor had given me some pills, but nobody gave them to me until the next morning.
Y en todo ese tiempo yo me estuve sintiendo mal y nunca me dieron las pastillas.
And that whole time I was feeling bad and they didn't give me the pills.
Y en todos los días que estuve en el centro, me bañé hasta un día antes de salir y no me dieron ropa limpia, tuve que ponerme la misma ropa sucia que yo tenía.
And that whole time they didn't give me new clothes or clean clothes, I had to just wear the dirty clothes that I had.
Y luego de eso, la celda estaba bastante fría y yo tenía mucho frío porque estaba mojada, porque tuve que lavar la ropa interior en el baño y ponérmela así mojada y tenía bastante frío.
And the room was really cold the whole time, and when I went to wash my underwear in the sink, I had to put on wet underwear, and so I was even colder.
Y en todo el tiempo que yo estuve en el centro de detención, nunca pude comer nada porque solo nos daban burritos y por las náuseas que yo tenía de mi embarazo, no los podía comer.
And the whole time I was in the detention center, I couldn't eat anything because they just gave me burritos, and because of the nausea from my pregnancy, I couldn't eat it.
Y esa fue mi experiencia en el centro de detención.
And that was my experience in the detention center. Entonces, después de esta experiencia, ¿qué significa para usted la decisión del juez?
Pues, en ese momento que yo supe la noticia de lo que el juez decidió, me siento muy feliz.
When I heard about the judge's decision, I felt really happy.
Porque sé que las personas que vengan llegando ahora al centro de detención no van a pasar lo mismo que yo pasé.
Because I know that all the people that have to go to the detention center aren't going to experience the same thing that I did.
Y saber que podrán tener un cuidado médico necesario me hace sentir bien también.
And knowing that they'll get adequate medical care also makes me feel good.
Y que vayan a tener un tipo de comida mejor.
And that they're going to have a better kind of food.
Y que si necesitan estar más tiempo, van a pasar a un lugar adecuado y que donde vayan a estar bien, eso me hace sentir bien. Y me siento muy feliz.
And if they need to stay in detention for longer, they'll be sent to a place with adequate conditions, and they'll be okay, and that makes me feel happy.
Y me siento bien de saber que con mi testimonio pude ayudar un poco para que esto mejorara y que sé que muchas personas de mi país todavía están viniendo para acá por la situación que estamos pasando en mi país. Y para mí, me siento muy feliz de saber que ellos tendrán unas condiciones mejores.
And knowing that that my testimony affected the outcome of the case makes me feel really good. I know that there are still so many people from my country that are coming here, and knowing that they're going to be in better conditions makes me feel happy.
Eso es todo.
And that's all. Gracias.
Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias, Testiga B. Many thanks to Witness B. Next, we'll hear from another person who was also detained in the Tucson sector in 2019. She will also be speaking Spanish, and we'll have her comments translated. Ahora vamos a seguir con otra persona que fue detenida en el sector de Tucson en 2019. Adelante.
Para empezar, pues yo la verdad estoy bastante contenta con el resultado de ese juicio, porque como la otra testigo dijo, no estuvimos en excelentes condiciones. Yo tuve una mala experiencia porque yo traía bastante mal a mi hijo y nos negaron, bueno, a mí me negaron la atención médica, a él me lo atendieron.
Okay, firstly, I want to say that that I'm really happy about the outcome of the trial, because as the other witness said, we were not in good conditions in detention. In my case, I arrived and my son was not doing well. Firstly, they didn't provide me with any medical attention. ¿Puede seguir?
Okay. Yo estuve alrededor de 5 días. A mí me negaron el baño. Mi hijo estaba bastante mal y me despertaron a 1:00 a.m. para yo poder darle un baño. El baño no es tan accesible. Estaba bastante mal las condiciones y pues la gente oficial me dijo de puedes bañar solo a tu hijo, tú no. Y ya tenía 4 días de estar yo en detención. También me negaron comida porque me negaron la leche para mi hijo.
So I was in detention for 5 days and my son was doing really badly. And they woke me up at 1 a.m. to say that I could give him a bath. The bathrooms were not very accessible and they were in really bad conditions. And they said I could bathe my son, but I couldn't take a bath even though I hadn't showered for 4 days. They also denied me food and my son medical care. Milk. They denied my son milk.
En más de una ocasión también pedí un burrito extra, porque nos daban un burrito, un jugo de caja y una galleta. Pero pues mi hijo necesitaba su leche y como le decía, me la negaron. Entonces la opción que tuve fue pedir un burrito para él y en 2 ocasiones me lo negaron.
So I asked for an extra burrito because they only gave us a burrito, a juice box, and a cookie. And I wanted milk for my son, but they wouldn't give him any milk. And I asked for an extra burrito for him, and they wouldn't give me that either.
Por esta razón, cuando pregunté por qué la mayoría de las personas que habían llegado conmigo ya se habían ido, me dijeron de sobre el tema porque a mi hijo lo habían atendido en el doctor, entonces a mí me habían reiniciado las horas.
So, when I asked, perdón, ¿puedes repetir?
¿Perdón?
¿Puedes repetir lo que dijo?
¿Todo?
No, solo esa última parte.
¿Cómo? No lo escucho bien.
Si puede repetir lo que dijo.
Ok. Te estaba comentando sobre que me negaron, cuando yo pregunté, tenía tanto tiempo de estar allí y todas las personas que habían llegado conmigo ya estaban afuera, la respuesta del oficial fue porque a mi hijo lo había atendido el médico y por eso me habían reiniciado las horas estando yo en detención.
Okay. So when I asked why I had been in detention for so long when everyone that I arrived with had already left, they told me that it was because my son needed medical care and for that reason my time has started over. ¿Puede seguir?
Okay. Por la misma razón me siento bastante bien con el resultado porque sé que ahora las personas que van a estar en migración van a tener una mejor atención, sobre todo para los niños.
Pues
y también que porque están mucho tiempo ahí y la mayoría de niños, cuando yo estuve ahí, estaban enfermos y ellos tenían el aire lo más frío que pudiera estar. Y cuando nosotros pedimos que por favor le bajaran un poquito al aire, ellos dijeron que lo tenían porque estaban tratando de, con eso mataban ellos el virus de la enfermedad que se pudiera llevar.
I feel really happy with the results of the trial for this reason, because everyone is going to have better conditions, and most of all, the children. When I was in detention, almost all of the children were sick, and the air was so cold, and when we asked them to turn the cold air down, they said that they had to keep it cold because they were trying to kill the virus that was getting everyone sick.
Esperando que la atención de los oficiales también estaba diferente, porque son bastante racistas. Ellos se expresan bastante mal de nosotros. Incluso cuando a mí me movieron de detención, el oficial que llevaba el autobús donde nos movieron se expresó bastante mal por un bebé que iba llorando y estaba diciendo malas expresiones en inglés, como a shed man, y así.
The officials, I also felt that the officials were racist. When they moved us from the detention center on a bus, there was a baby crying, and one of the officials was mistranslating from English to Spanish. ¿Tiene otras reacciones a la opinión o a la decisión?
También sobre todo por lo menos la comodidad en la que estamos. No se piden lujos porque tampoco venimos a estar en un hotel, pero nos dan una colchoneta que no es muy cómoda y estamos todos donde hay niños, hay personas adultas, mujeres más que todo, pero estábamos en una situación donde estábamos casi uno encima de otro, con respecto a las cobijas, ellos le dicen cobijas, son de aluminio, a veces nos negaban las cobijas, solo, por ejemplo a mí me dieron solamente una, para mí y para mi hijo.
Other reactions to the decision about the comfort. We're not asking for luxury, but it was really uncomfortable. There's so many children in there and adults, mostly women, and we were just almost one on top of another. We had to sleep in the cots, and the blankets aren't really blankets. And they gave me just one blanket for both me and my son.
Pues muchas gracias. Gracias por dar su testimonio también aquí. We're going to go ahead and move on to the next person on the call. Victoria Lopez is with the ACLU of Arizona. Victoria?
Hi there. Thanks so much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. So just briefly, so today's order makes clear that migrants held in CBP facilities across the Tucson sector must be treated with dignity and respect. The order also makes clear that CBP violates its constitutional obligations to protect the rights of people it takes into their custody. During the trial, and as we've heard here on this call today, we have heard compelling witness testimony and we saw videos revealing overcrowding and horrific conditions. And it's clear that exposure to these abusive conditions have devastating and long-lasting effects. It's also important to note that years prior to our filing this case, migrants, advocates, and attorneys in Arizona raised red flags about the treatment of migrants in the Tucson sector. These organizations and individuals published reports and filed complaints, including with DHS's own watchdog agencies. Especially given current attacks on immigrants at the state and federal level, the criminalization of migrants, unconstitutional asylum policies, and the increased use of detention, this opinion vindicates the brave people who've spoken out against these abuses over the years. And we'll continue to work with communities in Arizona and across the country to ensure that CBP implements the protections in this order and meets meets the constitutional standards that are required. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Victoria. And finally, we'll hear from Carolina Walters with the American Immigration Council.
Thank you, Alvaro. I just wanted to add briefly to the wonderful information that's been shared by my colleagues and speak a little bit about the impact of today's decision. I think it's important to realize that while this case was brought in a federal court in Tucson and addresses the conditions in CBP facilities in the Tucson sector, the court's ruling is significant because the court conducted a constitutional analysis of detention conditions and through its decision has really established a constitutional baseline for what conditions in CBP facilities should be. You've heard my colleagues speak about this. You've heard the individuals who were subjected to these conditions share here today what the impact of being held in conditions that the court itself stated that the evidence had shown that these conditions in which individuals who are pre-trial detainees, these are civil detainees, these conditions were, quote, substantially worse than those afforded to criminal detainees in jail facilities. And so by establishing this constitutional baseline, we believe that the impact of today's decision could be quite broad. I will also state, technically speaking, that while today the judge issued his decision, there will be subsequent briefing on the exact terms of what the injunction, what the permanent injunction for the CBP facilities in the Tucson sector will be. And so we can expect to see more information about the specifics of how today's decision will be implemented in the near future. And with that, I just want to thank everyone for their time, especially for some of you, I'm sure, later in the day, and provide an opportunity for those with questions to have the time to ask us. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolina. So we'll turn this back over to David, who will open the lines for questions to the attorneys. The witnesses who spoke will not be taking questions, but the attorneys are happy to answer any questions that folks on the line may have.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one keys on your telephone keypad. Keep in mind, you may remove yourself from the question queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question today, please press the star and one keys on your touchtone telephone keypad. And we'll take our first question from Astrid Galvan with the Associated Press. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking questions. Can you talk about whether there are any plans to file similar lawsuits in other sectors and also just kind of elaborate on this that Carolina just mentioned that there's a broad implication. Do you expect that other sectors are going to implement some of these policies on their own or are there going to have to be lawsuits to make them do that?
Thank you, Astrid. Carolina, maybe do you want to start, and we can I can either continue, or maybe Colette can talk a little bit about what we think the impacts are.
Sure. Well, you know, I would just reiterate what I stated previously, and thank you for the question, Astrid, which is, again, you know, the analysis that the court did, the reasoning that the court did, was really based on what the constitutional requirements are for pretrial detention conditions. And so even though this decision was, evaluating the conditions and facilities in the Tucson sector, those constitutional standards and what the Constitution requires for individuals who are held in a pretrial capacity, that has a much broader implication. And so, you know, to your question of whether we can expect CBP or the government to apply this decision more broadly, that's not really a question I can answer. But I think that what the judge's decision's done today is sort of laid the groundwork for what these minimum standards should be and what all facilities should be held to. Alvaro, did you want to add?
This is Colette. Everything that Carolina said is true. This is a district court in Arizona, and you guys are all legal reporters, so it's not, we'll go over the law 101, but it's not a binding precedent in other jurisdictions. Other than Arizona, I mean, it's not binding anywhere even in Arizona except in this judge's court, but his analysis was very thorough, and it took into account the conditions that CPP has been arguing are unique to CPP. Those conditions are not different in the other sectors. So whether or not another court is bound by it, they're not. But the analysis is quite thorough. It's from a judge who's a respected judge. And I would expect that other districts will take note. And I don't know of plans to file other lawsuits, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are some now that there is something where there's such a clear analysis of the constitutional baseline.
Thanks to you both. Let's turn to the next question.
Our next question comes from Maria Denzau with the Courthouse News Service. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Just wanted to ask a little bit about the witnesses. Just wanted to know where their countries of origin are when they arrived at the detention centers.
Thank you. Bree, can you say a little bit about witness B, and then I'll go ahead and say about the other witness?
Sure. Witness B is from Honduras.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, was there a second half of your question, or was it just country of origin?
I just wanted to know the country of origin. I imagine we can't really go into too many details about them. Perhaps we could know what their ages are?
Sure. Witness B is 20 and was 19 when she was detained.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And this is Alvaro, the other person that you heard from, who was not a witness in the case but is a class member and was detained, is from El Salvador, and she was detained in April of 2019. And she's 27 now, was 26 at the time.
All right, thank you. And her son, I imagine, is an infant or?
Her son was, I believe, 4 months at the time of that he was detained and is now a toddler.
Oh, my God. Okay, thank you.
And just to clarify, Witness B also was detained in April 2019.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And as a reminder to ask a question today, please press the star and one keys on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for another moment to allow further questions to queue. Take our next question from Paul Ingram with the Tucson Sentinel. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for the call. The one question I had is, do we have a sense of what CBP will do in terms of appeals and what that process will look like?
I'm happy to take it. It's Colette. We don't know for certain. I'll be surprised if they don't appeal. I'll be surprised if they also, there's still a process to get to what the form of the permanent injunction is, and they may very well wait to decide what they're doing until Judge Burry issues the permanent injunction, because the timing on the remedy that will be implemented will, as they told us repeatedly during the trial, that will have significant impacts on CPP funding and process. So they raised the idea that they would move to stay or ask for a longer time to implementation. So it remains to be seen, but we'll know more once we see what the form of the actual final injunction is.
And is there any kind of sense that they may simply shift detainees from Tucson sector to Yuma sector or El Paso sector as a way to sort of get around this injunction?
We don't know that. We could speculate, but we don't have any way to know that.
Okay.
I mean, if you were trying to be sneaky and get around this injunction, I think there's probably a couple ways you could do it, but we're gonna think that they're gonna try to just abide by the court's ruling and act forthright. The case we tried was that they're working in an underfunded situation that's over capacity because other sections of the government are also over capacity. And that, you know, they're trying to do their best with the limited resources they have. So we'll just keep going on that assumption.
Okay.
And this is Alvaro, just to add to that, I really do hope that CBP, across sectors sees this as an important ruling that talks about what the constitutional mandates are on them, right? And so that instead of trying to get around this injunction somehow, that they actually live up to what the Constitution demands.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press the star and one keys. And we can pause for another moment. And there are no further questions on the line at this time.
Thank you, David, and thank you to everybody who was on the phone call today, and thank you to all of our speakers. As we said, we will continue in this case as long as it takes to make sure that CBP follows the demands of the Constitution and lives up to what this injunction requires. We'll keep you all posted with any news that comes any further, but thank you for your attention to this case and to ensuring that all immigrants in detention are treated in a humane and dignified manner. Thank you all.